Okay, we're doing the sermon together this evening. She has preached before and done a good job, but this evening we're going to do one together. As you're aware, we went down to see Aaron and Jennifer, and we left very early Wednesday morning, 4:30 in fact. And what some of you may not be aware of is that the reason we left at 4:30 was to get through Atlanta. I wanted to get through Atlanta for the rush hour happened, and we just breezed through Atlanta. I mean, we were past Atlanta in record time, and on our way, and we about 7 o'clock in the morning, we were at exit 47 at Noonan, Georgia. Noonan, Georgia is famous for, if you ever seen the You Might Be a Redneck series by Jeff Foxworthy, the guy that draws the pictures lives in Noonan, Georgia. And anyway, we didn't know that when we stopped there, but we learned lots of stuff. We come down off the exit, and we were going to eat, and I had to stop kind of fast because there was somebody coming. But when I went to get the car to go again, it would not go. And so there we were. And so that was just kind of the beginning. I kind of get you all, or get started on all this. So.
Well, what
by
you?
By the way, I need to say this. She wrote all this down, and she was very busy the entire time. That whole notebook was full. Time we got back, and in fact, she said, "Can I borrow your pen? This is a very special pen. I specially bought it for me. I love this pen. There is no ink left in this pen. We had to buy more pens for her."
It was a miracle in itself. I actually stayed awake for the whole trip, which I usually don't do that. Well, this is about our trip. You may feel like you're back in school listening to some long ballad, but I feel like God was giving me the words to tell about our trip, and so I tried to do it in a poem form. My mom, for years, had written poems for people, and it was a special God-given talent. And just recently, I kind of feel like God's starting to put that, I don't know, responsibility on me, because even when we were stuck in Noonan, the first thing I kept thinking is, I got to get to the car and get a pen and paper and write this all down. And it's just been really amazing. I've never had words come to me or thoughts come to me as quickly. And I did write and rewrite some things, like Wally said, but I hope this makes sense to you and you'll kind of understand our trip. It's called God Show Me the Way. The angels in heaven looked down and said, "Oh no. The winners are packing their things and getting ready to go. Those winners, we just can't watch them a few hours a day. It'll be lots of overtime for us. What can we say? We arose bright and early and ready to go, hurrying to beat rush hour traffic, but little did we know. We sailed through Atlanta, no problems foreseen, no accidents or traffic jams. What can that mean? It's been 2.5 hours, so let's take a break to get fuel and breakfast. This won't make us late. We turned off at exit 47. Little did we know, when the traffic light changed from red to green, our cruiser refused to go. We sat stranded in traffic and started looking around. There, 100 yards away, a Chrysler dealership was found. First, Wally called on his cell phone. "Please help us," he pleaded. But when he was told there would be a $125 charge for towing, he told them their services wouldn't be needed. Next, Wally called a trusted friend and told him what was happening this day. He quickly replied, "Don't worry, I have a car you can use. If you need it, call me and I'll get it to you right away." So now for a stroll, Wally hurriedly went to seek out help from Chrysler. They were God sent. As Wally started walking, I looked up to heaven. "Dear God, it's up to you. Please help us at exit 47. While waiting for a tow truck, an officer came by to offer help and keep us safe until the tow truck was nigh. Then we walked to the Chrysler dealership where our car was being towed. to be checked by the technicians there, their diagnosis to unfold. Wally talked to the manager, so kind and helpful was he, found out some car problems like ours could be under warranty. When Wally returned, he looked at me and said, "Pray that our car problem will still be covered by warranty today." Later, when the manager returned with the news about our locked-up transmission, he said it can be repaired with little cost to you if you give us your permission. I was bursting for joy. I wanted to stand up and shout, "Thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God, for helping us out." The speedometer reading was 68,000 miles on that day. If it had been 1,500 more, the warranty would have not been good, and the cost of the repair would have blown us away. One problem solved, yet another per se. We still needed to travel to Louisiana today. We knew God was not finished. He would make us a way. Then the manager suggested Wally call Chrysler Corporation and plea. They loan us a car to use and give it to us rent-free. At 11:30 that morning, a man from Enterprise Rentals arrived, came to take us to his business and give us a vehicle to drive. Finally, after all arrangements were made without paying a cent, he drove up in a white Dodge Caravan. It was heaven sent. We took one look and started laughing. The man looked puzzled as can be. He must have thought, "What have I done? Why are they laughing at me?" Once we regained our composure, Wally explained, "You just don't know what it's like living a life as a winner and the way that things always go." Wally told him, "When I write my book, then you'll understand." The man said, "I'll have to buy it and read it so that I can." We spent 5 hours in Noonan, Georgia, where we visited with others who were there, patiently waiting and unusually calm, listening to the stories they had to share. We learned God's timing is perfect no matter what we need. So don't hesitate, be patient and wait. He will always help you succeed. We loaded up the caravan and started down the road, only to be stopped by a construction site a few miles away, traffic moving very slow. Again, we're traveling down the road. Everything seems to be going fine. Only an hour and a half from our destination, the phone rang. It was Aaron on the line. He told us to be careful. A bad storm was heading our way. A tornado warning was giving, headed straight for us that day. Wally and I just looked at each other and thought to ourselves, "Where can we go?" Then remembered the Israelites in Egypt, how God kept them safe. We knew he'd help us too. As we looked ahead, the dark clouds were hovering nigh. We asked God to help and protect us while singing, "Keep us safe as the storm passes by." As we continued down the highway, the weather got much worse, with lightning, rain, and some hail. We kept trusting in God to guide us, just like a ship without a sail. At last we're there. What a relief, Angel sighed, as we drove up to apartment number 10, so happy to be welcomed by those that we love and hugged by family and friends. Our stay in Louisiana was great, although short, special time spent with family and friends. We attended the nurse's pinning ceremony of our daughter-in-law, Jen, so proud and happy to have been. Early Friday morning, we were back on the road again. We hadn't traveled far when we got a call. It was from another one of our friends. Wally proceeded to tell them we were returning home that day from a trip to Louisiana. Few details, he did say. Immediately, they offered to send money to help us if there was a need. Wally replied, "No, we're fine. God will show us the way. We know he is with us indeed." It's 4 p.m. on Friday. We're back at Southtown, the place where they were repairing our car. Then I noticed their sign that said, "We turn your frown upside down." What a promise to those who came in near and far. They told us our cruiser is almost repaired. Won't be long. It'll be ready to go. We're wondering how much they will charge for repairs. That information, only God knows. When handed the bill of $2,000 or more, our hearts began beating with great speed until they told us we owed $100, our deductible amount. Thank you, Lord, another blessing indeed. This trip has been a blessing with a story for us to share of how God helped two rednecks from South Carolina and showed them how much he cared. If you think your life is boring, uneventful, or you're feeling blue, just become a winner and see what happens to you.
Hence Jehovah Jireh, which is the Lord provides. And you might recall the story from Genesis, a subtitle, How the Lord Hydrates Your Soul, because we went through a lot of water through all this trip. But it's from Genesis 22, of course. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said, to this day in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Or as another translation puts it, Abraham named that place the Lord will provide. And even now people say, oh, the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Certainly on this trip there are lots of occasions in which the Lord provided for us, and he took care of the situation for us. And I will admit, patience is not one of my best things. Problems along the way, I guess I should be used to. But I had maybe the most unusual calmness about this whole circumstance, even as it transpired. As we sat there and the car wouldn't move, I never felt anxious at one point in all this. I had no idea what was going to happen, how it was going to happen, if it was going to cost us, if it was going to have to leave them the car, if we was going to have to start cleaning out the garage and cleaning up the parts. I had no idea I was going to do that. And certainly when I first made my call to Sonny, he already had an idea of what he could do and what he could happen with through him. And I knew that was there all the time. And I do appreciate that. It's wonderful to have people you can call just to talk with when you have a crisis going on in your life. And Sonny was there for that, as he has been on many other occasions. And certainly as some of the rest of you have been there for us on different occasions too, we do have appreciated all that. But the circumstances for us, it seemed a little bit more unusual in that when he told me, when we was working that day, looking the stuff over and giving information, and he said, you know, I think this is still under warranty. And I said, I didn't believe him, because that's not the way things really run for me. I usually take the rough road all the time. And so I really didn't believe that was going to happen. And when he came back and after they diagnosed the problem, and he said, you got $100, it's going to cost you $100 because of this many miles on it. They do ask a $100 deductible, but he says, that'll be it. I said, you mean I don't have to pay for the transmission? I don't have to pay for the labor? He said, no, it's all under warranty. I said, you're sure it's under warranty? I want this to be absolutely clear. And he said that. He was a wonderful, wonderful man. I mean, he just went out of his way, and particularly and getting it ready for us to come back, because we were gone. We left it there with them on Wednesday. He said, I can't have the transmission in at least till tomorrow. As it turns out, he didn't even get it in until Friday morning. And we were there Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock. And when we walked up to ask about it, they said, it'll be an hour. Well, we came back before the hour's up, and we saw them road testing, and at that point, it took them 30 minutes to do the paperwork, though. So, when I talked with him, he said, I really pushed them to get it done for you today. And I said, well, I really appreciate that. But we had some great conversations along the way, too, and about all this. And certainly, when we got to Louisiana and went through all that, one of the things that bothered me when we got to Louisiana, the hail wasn't going to bother me, but particularly, what bothered me about the hail was when we did the walk around on the caravan at Enterprise. The guy says, we're walking around here looking at this because you got to bring it back in the same shape that you took it out of here. And I thought, if we go through a hailstorm, that ain't gonna happen, is it? And so that was the only thing I was worried about with the hail. I didn't want nothing to damage their caravans, and I was going to have to then work out that part of the deal, you know, that kind of complication. But it didn't, you know, we didn't have that kind of hail happening to us, and it certainly and when the tornado did touch down by us, it was pretty well localized, and it wasn't something that really affected anything that we were doing or our knowledge even of necessarily, although we knew there were some strong storms. I followed a truck on the highway for quite a distance because I couldn't see. All I did was keep their taillights in front of me because I could not see road. I couldn't see anything but their taillights, and that's how hard the rain was coming down at some point. But I found it was safer, actually. We had stopped under an underpass for a little while, but it was also an entrance ramp, and we almost got rear-ended the first thing, so I thought, now this isn't a good thing either, so we're safer on the road. But I think about how God does that, and the whole thing, I had prayed several different times, different prayers and different things, and God answered every one of those things that I prayed on this trip in particular with this situation and stuff. It was amazing. When we were coming back, I said, you know, Lord, I know this is selfish, but I want to know, Lord, if entirely possible, have that car ready for us today when we're on our way back home, so I don't have to make another trip back down here to get it or anything like that. And when we got there and said it'll be an hour, you know, it was ready. It was ready. That was just one of the few things that happened and the prayers that I offered during this time. And I found that the whole thing was so spiritually refreshing because on this occasion I offered prayers, Peggy offered prayers, and we saw the answers, you know, almost immediately. That doesn't always happen when we pray. We know that. We pray long and hard for some situations for a long time and we don't see the answers that we think ought to be coming our way. We don't see what transpires sometimes, and we almost want to give up sometimes because we've been praying for something for a long time and it hasn't happened. And I know that feeling also, but I also know the rush of seeing God answer prayers almost immediately and what that does for you. Some passages I wanted to share with you this evening. This is the Psalm 1, which is a great psalm. But God blesses those people who refuse evil advice and won't follow sinners or join in sneering at God. Instead, the law of the Lord makes them happy, and they think about it day and night. They are like trees growing beside a stream, trees that produce fruit in season and always have leaves. Those people succeed in everything that they do. This isn't true of those who are evil, because they are like straw blown by the wind. Sinners won't have an excuse on the day of judgment, and they won't have a place with the people of God. The Lord protects everyone who follows him, but the wicked follow a road that leads to ruin. As children of God, God wants to bless us. He wants the world to know that we are his and that there's something special about being a child of God. It is not always everything about something in the future. Yes, we can say, there is a kingdom waiting for us, and that's a wonderful future. It's a great future, you know. But there are things for us today. God is blessing our lives today, and there's probably a lot of unknown ways that he's blessing us. There's things happening out in the background that we don't even know because we're not, we're up here conscious of a few needs that we have up here, but he's working these things out in the background that work to help our lives and affect our lives. Psalm 128, verses 1 and 2, the Lord will bless you if you respect him and obey his laws. Your fields will produce and you'll be happy and all will go well. Psalm 119:68. You are speaking of God here. The psalmist speaking. God says you are kind-hearted and you do good things. And he does do good things. You know, that's what God really wants to do. God is not looking forward to a day of judgment. There's going to be one that comes, but God's not looking forward to that day. He's looking to do good things into people's lives. Yes, for our lives. It's only that people reject him. This afternoon, as I was looking across the internet at some stuff, doing a little research on some stuff, I saw this little piece on Einstein. Maybe you saw that piece on Einstein. And Einstein, in essence, thought that God was pretty much an idea of man, and the Bible was kind of fables and stuff. You know, he's a brilliant man in a lot of areas of his life, but he was spiritually ignorant of what God can do in the life of an individual and how he can change a whole life around, and how things that you never expected to happen to you can happen to you. Psalm 145:9, you are good to everyone and you take care of all your creation. Psalm 145:15, everyone depends on you, and when the time is right, you provide them with food. By your own hand, you satisfy the desires of all who live. Our Lord, everything you do is kind and thoughtful. And again, the psalmist telling us about the God that we serve, that he is a kind and thoughtful God to us. Psalm 145, and earlier in the verses 3 and 4, you are wonderful, Lord, and you deserve all praise because you are much greater than anyone can understand. Each generation will announce to the next your wonderful and powerful deeds. And you see, I think that's an important part of all this. And I think that's good why to have times when we talk about this among us. Testimonies in a service have become something that have become passé, you know. They're not included much anymore. I remember a time in the history of the church when there was an actual testimony time and people got up and talked about what God had done for them that week. And then it almost was eliminated. Nobody ever talked about what God was doing in their lives. And I think it's a good thing to do. I think it's a good thing to do. And I wish, you know, in some respects that all of our young people were here and could hear the testimony this evening, that, you know, of what Peggy had to share there. Or Saturday evening when we prayed for them to see things like that. And see what God is doing and how we unleash this mighty power of God to be at work. We know that after we prayed last week, God is already blessing Paul, and he's already diagnosing the problems with the He's working with Mark and Sandy, the things we prayed for immediately. I think God's there and he's answering prayer because he wants to do good things for us. This verse, Jeremiah 29:11, I like, and it's a good verse for us always to keep in mind. I'll bless you with a future filled with hope, a future of success, not of suffering. It's a tremendous verse to memorize and to rely upon and repeat time and time again. God wants to give us a future that's always filled with hope. There's always something more. It's always going to be better. It's going to be better. It's going to get better. You know, Peggy and I have talked about this, you know, on the way back, but we have been blessed innumerable times, but God has spent a lot of time with us recently. You know, we talked about, you know, the washer and dryer that you all helped with and somehow provided for us. Now, that was tremendous. And have the gift for our software program from a guy that gives us, just because I casually bring it up and mention it. And the way that he has worked with all this, you know, he has blessed us in innumerable ways recently. In fact, I was feeling so good about all that I almost pulled off there and bought one of those lottery tickets for $193 million. I thought I was on a roll. Maybe I shouldn't push it quite that far. But it just seemed, and has seemed, for the last few weeks, that nothing but good has been happening to us. You know, and That's just a wonderful, wonderful thing to be able to say, and it's certainly a lot of fun to experience. And I hope it's true for you. I hope that you have those times, and I hope you have those times often where you feel God is for you, that He's blessing you, He's enriching you, He's giving you a future with hope and a future with success.